Intervju Radija Študent. There ain't no grave that can hold me down. My Cadillac is waiting around the corner, baby. I got a place for you by my side. Always a place for you by my side. Through time and space, I'll be gone. I'll be running to you, baby. Ain't no grave that can hold me down.
Pozdravljeni v terminu Radio Študent RŠ Intervju. Z nami je Karla Bozulič in člani njene zasedbe Don the Tiger in Andrea Belfi. Manjka še član John Eichensir. Pogovarjamo se o priložnosti njihovega nocočnega nastopa v koncertnem ciklu Defonija v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi in pravkar smo slišali skladbo Ain't No Grave, prva skladba z nove plate Boy, ki je v zadnjih tednih kar navdušila neko širšo, lahko rekli, indie podzemlje ali kakorkoli. In zdaj bomo pa Karlo in njene sopotnike poprašali nekaj o vseh teh zadevah. So, hello Karla, hello,
hello
Andrea, hello Don.
Hi, hello.
Really nice to have you here. And we just heard the first song from the record Boy. Ain't No Grave, and I wanted to ask you, Karla, about it because it seems to paraphrase this more famous blues song, Ain't No Grave.
Oh, you mean Johnny Cash?
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny thing is, honestly, I love Johnny Cash for, I don't know, so long, and I respect him way too much to name my song the same name as his, but I didn't know he had this song.
I think it's not a popular song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an older blues song, I think.
Yeah, but it's not popular in the US. Somebody told me after the album was made about it, and I was really embarrassed because I love his music and I thought I know all of the music.
But you didn't reference it consciously.
No, I was referencing something very, very different from that, which is, do you want to translate first? Or
No, we just speak in English, no problem.
Okay, all right then. So, the song is the theme for the album, and it's connected to the idea of boy.
Okay.
It's a bit complicated, this thing.
Okay, but maybe if you want, you can...
I would like to explain, because it means a lot to me. Okay. So this album is dedicated, and many of the tracks are referencing my friends from when I was a teenager and a young woman who didn't survive their life in Los Angeles or New York City because of drugs or because also, in a big way, many of the boys that I knew, specifically boys, they were gay and they were, this is before they had the right medications for HIV. And, you know, they died. But these boys really into dancing and really into just having a great joy of life, you know, really just amazing, very flamboyant, incredible the way they looked and so fun. So I thought I was making a very fun record for these boys.
Okay.
And then now that it's finished, I hear that it's pretty dark, but I thought it was really the funnest thing ever. Mm. And the boys, you know, from drugs and AIDS and suicide. For me, that I was in a rough life as a teenager, you know, very street. And so this is dedicated to those boys, and it's why it's called Boy. And and the song is saying Ain't No Grave. Mm. And so it's basically just saying you're still alive for me. And and when I say I'm a man, you know, it's like, it's just all to do with this. It's complicated for me. It's inside of me, so.
So it's already, at the start, it's really personal.
This one is, it's hard to communicate the thing, but I needed to make some kind of music for these boys because I had made a lot of music about grief in my life, but I wanted to really just hit it on this record because I want to be free from that feeling, and I want to think of these people as dancing and you know, in love with their boyfriends and you know, all this stuff. And so there was a big gay punk rock dance scene in Los Angeles in the early 90s, really big and great, fantastic.
Because it's interesting, because as you mentioned, the record ended up sounding really dark. And maybe you could make a connection around the discourse about this album. Everyone seems to talk about that it's your pop record, at least it has a pop approach. But how do you feel about this kind of talk?
I wrote that I always say something. Actually, that one is really simple to explain, which is just listen to the Evangelista records, and then you understand why this one is my pop record, because it's much lighter than those.
Yeah.
But also if you listen to so many musics, I don't know. I mean, there's so many musics out there that are so much darker than this album, and I think it's just because I think it's because I'm a woman, and I'm, you know, I just don't think anybody is ready for a woman, especially my age, to get up and say the same thing as men do anytime they want. And that's another reason why it says, I'm a man, I sing about what I want, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm just basically saying, like, can I say?
Of course.
Fuck you to these people that are like, you know, oh, she's doing this dark, heavy, oh my God, because it's like, you know, I'm not doing anything darker than, you know, I don't want to start listing the names.
Of course.
Everybody knows so many people. They're all men, though, you know?
Yeah, but what's maybe interesting to me is maybe where do you situate this this type of record, like you were mentioning the Evangelista records before, and it's different, but it doesn't seem so much different because I hear in your music a kind of preoccupation with song structures all the time, but maybe this time it's approached in a different way. But it's still, I think it's still falling apart in a way, and it's keeping it interesting. So
I'm trying to learn actually to write. I find it to be a challenge. You know, we have to keep trying new things in life. So for me, I really want to incorporate my style, which is totally loose, totally accidents. It's just one accident after. I mean, if you ask Andrea, it's like when we were writing the music for this, we'd be making some kind of riff, and then something else would happen. We'd be like, okay, let's do that, you know. And then after a while, we had these songs, and so it's just for me. My new challenge is that for sure I'm always going to make like sound stuff and noise and whatever, but my new challenge is to try to actually feature my voice better and learn how to write songs, you know. I mean, I know that sounds really straight, but for me it would be fun if I could just even try it more than this. I heard this record and a couple weeks ago and I was like, okay, I see you trying, Carla.
Okay.
And so I thought maybe I could try even more.
Yeah. So it's a perspective you can see yourself trying more in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So now maybe let's talk about the band and about the people who helped you make this record. We have Andrea Belfi, which is responsible for the drums, and Don Tiger for bass and guitar. And there's John Eichens here, who was the main collaborator for this record, who is not here.
Yeah.
And could you maybe, all of you three, maybe tell a story or two about how you met and how you ended up to work on this record?
Yeah.
Well, I think you can say where. Okay. I'm Andrea. I met Carla in Berlin. Please tell you.
No, Andrea.
Please tell them. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Your voice is so nice.
Okay. Great. Okay. Great. Thanks. Okay. Carla invited me to perform in Berlin on an evening that actually I couldn't make it.
Wire experimental night.
Yeah, it was a Wire experimental night in Berlin, and as far as I was living in Berlin at the time, and I'm still living in Berlin at the time, she invited me. It didn't happen that time, but then I got the chance to play with a couple of songs with Evangelista.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
In Leipzig
and Berlin. And that's where the collaboration started. And then John and and John, they decided to have, you know, my drum sounds on the new record, and somehow they came to Berlin and recorded this record together.
Somehow,
it happened very quickly.
Yeah, very style.
Very quickly, last minute, and. Yeah, but it happened this way.
That never happens in any other situation, though, right? It's always very long plans. It's very exact. Never changes.
Exactly. That's how it is. That's how it started.
Maybe Don also, yeah.
Well, Carla and I actually met in the coast of Barcelona like 7 years ago or eight. I don't remember. And she was playing the same festival I was playing, and we met, and we were like 2 days in a row dancing and meeting cats and stuff like that. And then we became friends, and whenever she came to Barcelona, well, we used to see each other and with some friends. And then I was touring last year with my solo project with Don the Tiger around Spain, and she she called me and she told me, I'm gonna go also around Spain and Portugal. So should we meet or just play together, whatever? So I started opening for the band that she had at the moment, and I played also guitar in the band. So we were like evangelistas some days we were like Carla Pozulik and the band and the Bloody Claws.
Bloody Claws.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, well, we rejoined for this last tour also, and yeah, I live also in Berlin, like Andrea. So I wasn't playing on the record, but here I'm playing bass and guitar live.
Okay. In real life. He has this project, Don the Tiger.
Which I think we're listening in the background now, or maybe we did, maybe you can listen what...
We did before,
and then, yeah. Now it's the band Hobo Combo from Andrea Belfi.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you also brought some music with you, so first it was the record and now what you're listening.
Yeah, and Andrea plays with Mike Watt and David
He was here
David
a few
Grubbs.
Weeks ago. Mike Watt was here.
In this radio?
No, in this area you're gonna play.
In this area, nice.
The club next to the one you're playing.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. He was there.
Yeah.
So...
And, yeah, well, I play with a lot with Lydia Lange also when she was living in Spain, and with Mark Cunningham from Mars and stuff like that.
So now you're in the middle of a European tour?
Yep, we're almost at the end, I think.
How has it been going?
It's been great, really great. I wish that I had a little more time just to enjoy the thing, but I'm doing like a really hardcore DIY situation. I mean, like, really hardcore. So there's like everybody's helping a little bit, but it's just so much work that it's like, but it's so it's like, you know, there's just there's
we just get a photo.
There's I booked the tour. It took me forever because I'm not a booking agent, and it was
so
hard. I mean, I just wanted to kill everybody. I just wished that people would come to my flat so I could murder them. just to get a line of people lined up, and then I could have like knives and guns, whatever, you know, ropes, slow death, anything. I mean, I just needed some relief. But then I got here and it was not really finished. So now I'm kind of stressed out, and it's very annoying because it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful outside here. I mean, so okay, we got to walk from the parking lot to in here. I breathed deeply. It was a total vacation for me. No, but it's really too much right now. So. Yeah, the t-shirts, the t-shirt design, the plane tickets, the, you know, like everything that there is. And so I'm not trying to complain, but actually I'm just learning. It's all learning. Everything is learning, you know. I mean, I've done this before, but I can't do it now. I just hate it. So, but it came out okay, right? Like, pretty much.
We're having a few things. That's normal when you're having so many babies around and, you know, like, creating some, taking care of so many things.
Yeah, not babies.
Babies, not babies. Babies.
No. Yeah. But
future direction.
I'm a man.
You're taking care of business.
Yes. So it's cool. I mean, the gigs have been absolutely fantastic. The people, like, we're all brothers and sisters. The four of us and our sound engineer too, and which is so awesome. But I don't know. I'm learning. Learning what my things are. You know what I don't want to do anymore? I don't want to play in venues or clubs or whatever where people are not cool, and and on top of that they're not cool. Then on top of that, it's dirty, the food sucks, and like you're sticking to the floor when you walk, and the microphone smells like butt. Okay. Like, and tastes maybe something, I don't know. So, I mean, I think I'm done. After 30 years of doing concerts, I might be finished with that particular scenario now.
So from the previous tours, maybe you have some memories to which clubs you would not like to return, which you would.
Yeah, but mostly everything. Mostly, it's very rare to meet a venue that I don't want to go back to, but yeah, once in a while. I'm super psyched to be here.
Okay.
Really, 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 yeah.
Have you been here before? I'm sorry, but I didn't check out.
Yeah.
You've been on this place?
Not that particular place.
But the area?
But Miha has put on Evangelista at another venue, but I forget. I think it's also involved with the student center.
Okay. Ah, okay, it's somewhere else in this Kut France Prešeren, it was called. And I think they're having some problems now. It's not so active, but the place you're playing today is like this semi-autonomous zone. It's pretty active.
It's great.
And some other stuff.
Great place.
Great. So maybe before we finish, or maybe one other question, I was thinking, you've recorded quite a few records for Constellation Records right now, and the last...
Five.
And I wanted to ask you if you could maybe talk about your relationship with this label, maybe what it means to you, maybe something to say about this.
Very much. They mean, for me, it's I've been on many labels and a lot of good labels with good people, but for me, the situation with Constellation is, it's very important to me. I'm kind of a street dog. I mean, I have my politics and I think they're pretty solid. You know, I'm a pretty hardcore left wing.
Okay.
I would say maybe all the way hardcore left wing politically. But also I'm like a street dog, so I'm like trying to get this or that or the other thing, just figure it out and maybe just thinking like, I've got to get this and eat it really fast before somebody comes and takes my food away, you know, that. Yeah. I'm like that. Where they're very relaxed about their ethics, and they teach me sometimes, and I think I teach them. Like when I turned over Deeper Than the Well, you know, it's saying like, I just want to fuck up the whole world, and it's like saying like about giving head and all this stuff, and they really, that's not really something they've experienced putting
noticed,
out a record before. Like, this is really new for them. You know, for me, it's also just a matter of relaxing a little bit about how things are going to get solved, and you know, they're very chilled out about things, and they want everybody to. Sometimes you know, it's hard because they, for example, iTunes.
Yeah.
What a shit corporation, right? But I mean, you can't not sell a label. They wouldn't sell a song to iTunes for like the first 6 years of iTunes.
Okay.
And all the people were like, I know they suck, they're terrible, but please, you know, like, we're starving, you know.
Yeah.
And they started to do it now, and it's a difficult. Where do you go with that? It's so hard to decide. So I love them though. And it's a story of the way that cooperation and being good to people that it can bring you good luck. So when I met them, I was in a band that was popular in the United States, and we had money enough to take other bands who had never toured much on tour. So if we liked somebody's music, we would always take a band that would not sell any tickets because we didn't need the money.
Okay.
I mean, to make the tour.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? So we could make the tour without them selling tickets. So we took Cat Power, for example, on her first tour, because she was so good, you know? So we paid her, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we took this band, Sofa, on tour, who was from Montreal, and because we liked their music, and they gave, I remember Ian from Constellation slapping in my hand their CD, and I remember looking at it and going, whoa, this thing is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's in cardboard. It's got this beautiful inset. And it turns out we were the first band to ever take a Constellation band out of Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And we took them on tour out of Canada. And so all these years later, I still knew the guys. Mm-hmm. And when then Godspeed formed and all this stuff happened. And when I made Evangelista, they said, come to the office, and I went in and they said, we have to put this album out. And I was really surprised. It's weird, I don't know why I was surprised.
Did they put it out?
Well, when they first said that, I just didn't expect anything at all. And I was recording with the people from Godspeed and Silver Mount Zion. But I really hadn't put it together that Don and Ian were gonna maybe put out the album. And when they told me that, I was just so moved. I mean, it was really emotional for me. And they told me during that meeting, they said, we love the record, we're super into it. But also, you were the first person to take a Constellation band out of Canada. And I didn't know, you know, so it was really cool. And it's an example of, you know, you do something good for no reason, because it's a good, you know, good situation, and then something good can happen. Yeah.
So it's more like a circle of people.
Yeah.
I mean, like having interaction with people, and not a, maybe a regular labor story, more like
very much
friendship style.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe just one thing about the label, Leslie. Do you find that, despite you're somewhat atypical for this label, do you find yourself at home in there? Because some of their bands have some wider sense of aesthetics that they're common to. So, or do you think you really stick? Because I still think you stick out quite a lot from the other bands.
Well, they have a lot now that do. I mean, Matana Roberts.
Yeah,
she has no real simulation. Colin Stetson.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like anything else on their catalog. But I don't know. I mean, the fact that so many of the Godspeed people are, and Silver Mount Zion are on my records is, I think, it makes a lot of, there's a lot of crossover to the sound. Yeah. But I think it's more my sensibility. I am really rough for them. Like, I'm a really rough person. I'm a street a street person, you know? I mean, I'll never wash that out of myself. It's always, it's from my, when I was a child, and it's the way things are. I look at life from those eyes, and also when I see something beautiful or something that's precious or a gift, like these guys, I don't ever take it for granted. Never. I'm about to cry. I mean, it's like, I never do. This gig here tonight, I would never take it for granted. The fact I'm here in Ljubljana, it's a gift. It's a miracle for me. So things like that, because I come from the background that I do, I never forget the gifts and the beautiful stuff. And I mean, I came from punk rock, like in you know, not the original. I was a little too young for the late 70s.
Early 80s. You did.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't quite there with the late 70s. I was more, you know, listening to, I don't know, like Black Sabbath maybe when I was 12. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, punk rock is really that way. I mean, it's not. It's got the bad sides or whatever. But the punk rock I was raised on, it's very hardcore ethics and gratitude and like, you know, appreciating what you have and standing by it and holding it tight and standing together against oppression and shittiness, you know?
Yeah,
and it's just like, that's my background, all of that. So I try to keep it going.
Okay, so yeah, I got the signal that we have to cut. I would really like to thank you for this passionate interview. It's not always so interesting, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And we
come to the concert, yeah. Guys. Come tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight at 10 o'clock at Gromka. I will say it in Slovenian again. Ja, torej je bila Karla Bozulič za sedbo. Na tvoj nastopi Gromki v ciklu Defonija ob 10. Pridite. Vrata se odprejo v 9:30. To je bil RŠ intervju. Tehnicirala je Teja in Makis. Intervju sem pripravil Marko. Hvala. Čau.
Intervju Radija Študent.